Let's get after it. It's a faux Friday, Thursday morning right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for this. First day of December 2022. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer, and you're waking up to what will be a cloudy day. A few potentially lingering flurries. We're supposed to get a couple of centimeters. Don't know that's going to happen. Haven't really had anything to speak of so far. It is going to be windy today. That's what you'll notice. Big wind. Big wind last night. Big wind, or relatively speaking, today, until it tapers off this afternoon. Today's high will be zero. Tomorrow, cloudy day, back up to four. Shower Saturday, nine. And then sunny on Sunday and plus one. A bit of a weather or temperature roller coaster this year. As you wake up this morning, we are sitting at, let me just find the current temperature, minus one, wind chill of minus seven. So we say good morning, hello, happy Thursday, and happy, I guess. To Sean Simpson, how are you doing this morning, Simmer?
I'm good, Jer, and yeah, kind of coming in there, a little bit ice on the ground, but boy, oh boy, it could be a whole lot worse. So as we hit the 1st of December, I'm saying thank you, and I'm feeling your vibe, and you always bring excellent energy. But I feel like, and I'm just a bit of feeling here, is your energy level that you went to the ice hockey match last night as one of your first of the year, like, how does that, is that excited you? Has it brought you down? Or, like, are you needing to really have extra coffee this morning? How was the vibe at the match last night?
The vibe was, it was the first game I've been to this year. So I will say, and I've seen other people who've been to games, either a lot or even one, and this is not old man shaking his fist at the clouds. Mm-hmm. Why is it so loud in there? Like, literally so loud.
Right there, Gramps?
Well, you're up there in the press box. Okay. You don't hear it. Simmer may know about this because he's down low when you're at the games. Okay. I'm sitting next to somebody. I can't even have a conversation with them. When the play's not on, I'm talking about. When the music is on.
When they're firing the music up
Yeah, or whatever. And I've seen other people write about it. Okay. And I know they'd be aware of this. Mm-hmm. And I know there's probably a good reason for it, or at least a good reason in their mind. So that was my first observation. Okay. Second observation was, Canadian Tire continues to be the windiest place in the world.
Yeah.
My God, we walked in last night. Yeah. It was like getting from the parking lot into the front door. I thought I was going to get blown away. I thought I was in Kansas.
Thought you and Mario would have limo service coming over. A couple of notable people coming over for the ice pack.
Yes. So,
but you're right about that. I guess it's the open area, but just cycles around that building.
It's
almost
crazy.
It's almost
thought
like
I was going to get lifted away at one point.
It's like being on a velodrome, I'm assuming, with a bike, right? Where you just pick up momentum as you hit the high wall in the corner, Jer, and boom, that wind just comes to you.
There was that. The other thing that was I was very pleased at, because this is the first, they've opened a new road. So I live in the north side of the Queensway in Kanata, okay? And they've opened it, basically, they've continued the road now all the way through to Tanger that runs. Yeah. So it's Drive, right? Yeah. So it runs kind of parallel to the 417. Yeah. So it used to be you had to do this big kind of out-of-the-way loop to get on to Huntmar, which eventually leads you to the rink. Now you can go straight through, and there's a roundabout right there. So
I don't like that roundabout. I'm saying right now.
Okay.
I like just coming off the highway and curving right in. I don't feel the need.
Well, you
to
wouldn't
that.
Need to if you're coming off the highway. You wouldn't need to deal with that roundabout anyway. We left. So my wife was a late scratch because she's ill. So I called up a buddy of mine who was downtown at a business meeting. I said, "Hey, listen, you want to go to the game tonight?" "Oh, yeah, sure, but I won't be able to get to your house till 7.
Oh.
And I said, "Oh, that's fine. We'll miss a few minutes of the game or whatever." Never really thought about it. He pulled into my driveway at 7:01.
Yeah.
We were in our seats with a minute gone in the game.
Nice.
Like, literally, it's like cruise.
Solid
boom,
right
boom,
there.
Boom, boom. It was so to get from my driveway into our seats in 9 minutes. As much as and listen, I'm a big proponent of them building the rink downtown. Even though I live in Kanata.
Yeah.
That would be one of the things I would miss is even though it's taking public transit and everything.
It's so funny, though, JR. And again, anyone that's run a team, and I don't care what level you're at, and you go to Peterborough of all places back in the day, and you had an older crowd. So, of course, they want the organ. They want organ music. I don't want any rock music. And anybody that runs any team, there is no ability to find the perfect of what kind of music are you going to play? What are you going to have?
Yeah.
Then when it comes to parking, like I lived this whole movie when we had the Cap Center out in Landover, Maryland. I'm not going downtown. I'm not doing that. I like to park. I want to be. And then for the people, I hate driving out to there. Like,
yes.
You know,
you cannot please everyone.
No, and you work so hard. You know, and again, you try to, for the most part, most businesses, but most hockey teams, you look at your season ticket holders. That's one of the reasons the Ottawa Senators for a long time went to 7:30 starts, right? They said, hey, this is what works for our people, and this is what they've told us is the best thing to do. So, yeah, you're always just trying to balance everything. And then
yeah.
I always feel like, personally, first of all, when you go to the CTC, still a very good place to watch a game, which is very important. And we're kind of spoiled in modern-day sports because I was just about in the 90s, right at the cusp of, you know, you had the St. Louis building that, I mean this sincerely, guys, should have been condemned. You had the Boston Garden that you can call it, you can call it whatever you wanted. It was a dump, you know, these modern buildings. But when you go there and then all the things and it really is. And I know in-game entertainment is important and everything else, but so much of it is quite simply, how do you feel about the product on the ice and how do you feel about your own team?
Yeah,
like, you know, that's the funny part about sports. Ah, want to make the experience and make sure you can get your hot dog quicker. Yeah, you know what? If you win, I don't care if I waited an hour from hot dog. but it is just an interesting, you know, discussion that you're always having, and you're always trying to make things better.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Whether the home team wins or loses absolutely affects your bottom line feeling on the evening. My bottom line feeling, and we'll get into more of the nuts and bolts of the game coming up as I walked out, is, well, that was a hockey game. You know, it's just, am I wrong in that? Like, we can get into it, but I walked out and I said, it just didn't seem like it wasn't super, you know, from an Ottawa perspective, it wasn't a super bad game. Wasn't certainly a super great game. It was just kind of a game.
Yeah.
It was just a hockey. It was an ice hockey match.
Yeah, it's hard. I went to the Islanders game, and the part that you notice, and this is where, again, you can certainly critique, and you obviously critique a record, GR, but I couldn't tell you a single shift in that Islander-Ottawa game that every player on the ice didn't appear to be working hard. The only player that looked like John McClane and the coach didn't like is Beauvillier. Is that how you say it?
Beauvillier.
Yeah. I looked at Johnny McClane a couple times, I think. But my point being, like, you don't see nights where guys are just cruising around or they're talking or laughing. Like, every time they step over the boards, they try. Now, how hard they try and what they're doing is certainly a different thing, and especially when you talk about 82 games. But like you said, and I kind of felt the same way watching the Islander game. Like, there was nothing wrong. Everybody worked really hard on both sides, and a couple of mistakes one way or another, and that's the margin as we talk about in today's National Hockey League.
Yeah.
That's quite simply, on nights like last night, on that cold, rainy November day, at the end of November, it quite simply comes down to that at the end of the day.
Who makes, in that case of last night, Sens probably made, they made a couple more bigger errors, and those ended up in the back of the net, and that's the reason they lost by 2-1. So there you go. There's my report card on my night in and around going to my first game of the year. Let's talk about the game when we come back. So we'll take a break. 6:19, Sens fall 3-1 to the Rangers, so we'll go through all that, get to the post-game reaction and your reaction as well. They'll get a chance to extract their revenge as the two teams will play again coming up tomorrow night back at MSG before Erik Karlsson and the San Jose Sharks come to town on Saturday. Speaking of the Sharks, they were in Toronto last night. Mitch Marner scores again, gets another point. He's now equaled the Leafs franchise record for a consecutive point streak. So we'll go through all the NHL stuff with you. Got some other hockey stuff as well. Big day just in terms of this whole Alex Formanton saga. We'll put it that way. I guess it's going to get its resolution one way or the other by 5 o'clock this afternoon. So we'll get you the very latest on what's going on there. Mike Johnson is there, TSN Hockey Insider. He will join us after 8. Don't forget, Canada plays its final match at the World Cup today versus Morocco. It's a morning game, 10 o'clock kickoff. We'll have it for you here on TSN 1200. 9:30 will be the pregame show, and if for nothing else than to play spoiler, Canada, if they can win the game today, get that first win, but they would potentially knock out the Moroccans as well, should that happen. All right, so we got lots to get to. Thursday Night Football tonight, Bills and Patriots. We'll have that for you here on TSN 1200. So a lot straight ahead. We're glad you're with us here on a Thursday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. All right, welcome back. 6:25 on this Thursday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Mike Johnson standing by. He'll join us as our TSN Hockey Insider coming up after 8. 9:30 will be the pregame show. 10 o'clock kickoff. Canada's final match versus Morocco at the World Cup. Are you on your level? And I know you're away last week for the... Well, you're here on Sunday. You were back from your holiday, right, Simmer? And you were obviously... did you end up finding the Canada-Belgium game down at the resort and Yeah. You wear your shirt? Like, what was going on?
No, I didn't end up wearing the shirt. It just arrived from the pool, went over. They actually had it in the theater. So, yeah, I ended up watching it there, and that was fun to watch. But the game on Sunday, I was pumped, pretty fired up. Today, I'm just interested to watch, Jer, as a... Yeah, I'm interested, but it's not the same level as Sunday, I got to say. But also, just what I'm feeling right now is I want to see Croatia and Morocco go through. I don't like those Belgian fellas, very moody crew. But at the same time, I'd like to see us get a result. So I am
even
interested.
The Belgians don't want the Belgians.
Well, exactly.
The players don't want
the
Belgians to get through. Kevin De Bruyne said after the first game, when asked if they were going to win, it was his probably not moment.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, was asked by some reporter and said,
"We're too old."
Yeah, we're too old.
Yeah, and and also there's all these stories out that. And again, I'd heard this for a while because I really did a deep dive on my pre-scout for the tournament.
Of course.
But there's a bunch of the players on the team that won't talk to each other. Like, you just know, right? When you're trying to put national teams together. It's one of the strangest things that I always found when Fetisov and Kasatonov came over to the New Jersey. They hated each other. They wouldn't talk to each other. They're the only two Russians on the team, and they won't talk to each other.
No I in team.
No, exactly. So I'm interested to watch. What about you?
For sure. Yeah. But I have to say my enthusiasm is somewhat dulled.
Well, by whatever it was, like, 1 p.m. on Sunday, I was putting away my fancy shirt and it was like, okay, well, you know, I'm interested. Okay.
Tell me if you think this is offside or not. So my wife in the prepper, she bought me, because my birthday was last month, she bought me a Canada soccer T-shirt.
Yeah.
To, you know.
Now, is it on the tight side?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because mine's a large, and I'm normally a large, and
tight.
She's actually
tight. You know what? She bought me a, because I'm usually, it depends on the fit, right? Depends on
who
makes it. I'm either an XL for length, or because I'm kind of long, or double X. Anyway, she bought me a double XL. It's way too big.
Good.
So she took it back and bought an XL. She said, I'll keep my double XL for my brother.
Okay.
But in the meantime, Canada's played the first two games, so she took back. She didn't even bother giving him the shirt because Canada was out.
Oh.
That offside.
No,
it was not worn.
No.
Returning the shirt after they lost the two games. And
no, I don't think.
Okay.
And I think mine says we believe. It's also a black T-shirt. Now, did you guys go with the red?
No, I got a black one.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice one. It's got a soccer ball on it in Canada. It's pretty straight.
Yeah.
I found it would suffice for anything where I'm cheering on Canada in general. So, just overall, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not as swept up as others are in, hey, let's get our first tie or our first win. I know for the players, I get why, you know, that, that whole storyline for me,
I got to disagree. I think a win today will carry over 4 years from now when the guys walk. The only thing else, and I wasn't even caught up in the first goal. I was caught up in, I hope we beat Croatia. Like, I know it was a monumental moment, but I wasn't like all of a sudden, yay, we scored. The only thing would be nice is if we, I'd say get a victory. Is that we just don't have to talk about it at the next tournament, JR. That's the only thing I'd say.
True.
I do think that it does take on a bit of a life of its own if we don't get anything. Then next tournament, you know, first game you have, just do something. Get a point, get a tie, obviously get a victory would be even better. Then we're just not talking about it 4 years from now.
Yeah, it eliminates all those questions asked to the player, to the coach.
But to 2022... Have any and us,
you're
you know,
going
can't
to get those questions.
No, but it had nothing to do with 1986.
I agree, Jared.
Nothing.
I agree. And
players weren't even alive.
No. And I
Matthew Schenetti, the first question he asks in 2026 is, are you open for a good result in your first game here? Do you want a point or a win? That's
I think
going
it's
to happen.
I think it's different because it's here.
Yeah,
I think it's different because it's going to be in Canada. I would agree to a lesser extent if it was anywhere else in the world, the World Cup. But the whole focus is going to be on a home World Cup in 2026. The whole thing of we've never won a game in our history, even though the two times we'd been there before were separated by, you know, four decades. I don't know I don't know. For me, I understand we got to find storylines and narratives and everything ahead of time. I get all that part of it. I just wonder for the players are kind of like, oh, my, the pressure. We've
I think
never
the storyline
yeah.
just goes positive if you get something out of this game rather than, you know, hanging back in the past with, hey, can you get your first point, a World Cup point, or a decent result.
And what will be different, guys, I think, in 2026 is that this isn't going to be all ice hockey, and it's not going to be the collapse in Nagano where all of a sudden, but we will have expectations, Jared, which is interesting, right? Like 2026, hosting it. And have we ever figured out, are we actually in the tournament automatically?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. So we don't have to worry about all that quality.
There's 48 teams in it. It's the expanded World Cup.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Everybody gets a trophy now, and everybody gets to go to the World Cup.
And that's okay. I don't mind that, because at least in soccer, you have enough good countries. But the build-up, but point being, and I'm just curious about Morocco. Like, my whole focus was, well, we're going to get a result against, hopefully, Belgium or Croatia. We're just going to mop up on this Moroccan crew. Yeah. How good can they be?
They're pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
They got a couple of guys. Ziyech.
Okay.
He's really, really good. So, yeah, and for Morocco, yes. If they get just even a tie today, they move on. So it could be one of those ones where they want a tie and Canada's like, well, we got a tie. Hopefully it doesn't turn out to be. I will just play for a tie.
And I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for Croatia.
Who doesn't?
Well, historically, and then the way they played and the whole thing it went, and a country of less than 4 million people, they're, I guess, out of the group so far.
Yes.
That would be the team that I'd be cheering for of the group that would advance.
You are welcome on the Dutchie bandwagon.
Okay, thank you.
After
this
is over, okay?
Well,
just keep quiet and go in the back.
No, but I know, but it's an automatic, though. Nobody will be cheering for the United States other than the Americans, right? So this is where, against Iran, you kind of have a mixed feeling. But now it's the United States. You do not want to, JR, you would agree, like, this would not go overwhelm the homeland to lose to the United States in soccer.
It doesn't go over well to lose in the round of 16, no matter who you lose to.
I understand that, but it's another level. There are certain things. You can't let the Americans beat you in speed skating, and you can't let them beat you in soccer.
Speed skating, bringing up memories of Eric Heiden. Oh.
You have to be worried when World Cup analyst Charles Barkley has already predicted an American victory.
He'd already moved past to and on to Mbappe.
He doesn't want anything to do with France and Mbappe.
All right, 6:33. More on the soccer coming up throughout the morning again. Match kicks off at 10 o'clock here on TSN 1200. We put off talking about the game last night for the Sens long enough. Let's get to it. Rangers in town. New York scored a goal in the first, scored a goal in the second. It was 2-0. Shane Pinto got the Sens on the board to make it 2-1. Let's take it to the third.
Rangers inside the line. Here's Vesey. Caters it to the corner, drops it back to the net. Zibanejad back to the point. Here's Lindgren. Fires it in. Scores! Three-point night for Lindgren. And the Rangers open up a two-goal lead.
Yes, crease-crashing Chris Kreider got the tip in on that one for what turns out to be the insurance goal in what would be a 3-1 final. New York beating Ottawa at Canadian Tire Centre. So the Sens' mini two-game win streak is over. Here's head coach DJ Smith on what went wrong last night.
Execution, I think, offensively. We had chances to shoot where we didn't shoot, maybe too cute. You know, and in a 2-1 game, and you're passing up, you know, some grade A looks, you know, and then it's 3-1, you're squeezing it. But, you know, I just didn't think we got to the net enough.
There you go. There is the coach's summation of last night's loss. Simmer, what was yours?
Again, these games coming off of a trip, JR, I'm respectful that I didn't expect this huge carryover from the two games, because I've lived the old West Coast and coming back, very flat hockey game, but it comes down to you got to find a way. And as far as giving up chances, I agree on that. But at the same time, it's just the small technical errors. And to watch some of the shifts and some of the goals of Sanderson and Hamonic both below the goal line, which I don't really understand when you get into that. If you're going to play a system, which we did in the KHL of both D-men below the goal line, that's great. And then a real bad look on the whole Stutzla-Zub situation in the sense of miscommunication, but I don't really need Tim Stutzla looking around with a little motion. I would probably prefer to come and slash him, and I wouldn't slash him in an area to really hurt him, but I probably don't need that. That was a real bad look right there for everybody involved.
Yeah, for those that, and so that was on the, well, that was on that goal.
Yeah.
And I did a freeze frame of the television of him turning around with the arms out to the side, looking at Zub going, and you can basically, you know, in his brain, he's going, I thought you had him. But at one point, Stutzla was standing beside Kreider and then just drifted away, and Zub is standing over to the side for no reason. So, again, continues to be the issue in defensive zone coverage where not everybody's on the same page still at this point. And, you know, we're talking about, I know Stutzla's young and Zub is, you know, 3 years into the league, but these guys have been around long enough that whatever system it is that they're playing, this should be down a lot better than it ends up being. But then again, there it is. Again, last night, full evidence right there of essentially everything that we see happen far too often in the Sens defensive zone.
Yeah, and I think people would be surprised, JR, that teaching and thoughts of when you get to the higher levels, you know, whether it be the American Hockey League, but more important, the National Hockey League, it's not just a question of necessarily, because the majority of players, if you really go through it, they'll know what to do. What they don't always know how to do, and this is where communication is so important, and you'll hear the Mark Mathots and the Jason Yorks, anybody's played, how much talking goes on just to relate and get a bit of a rhythm to understand, especially as a defenseman, what my partner's doing, right? I mean, you know, you kind of know, but I'd be surprised how many times if people said, hey, how are we supposed to play two-on-ones? And a lot of players would be like, I don't know. We've never actually really talked about it. There are just a lot of things here that are just basic fundamental errors that have nothing to do with talent, have everything to do with execution. And in year four of a coach and now the quarter point, and quite simply as a group, they're just underperforming. And you come back, it is a really important game. We've talked about the new stretch of games, and now starting December, JR, you needed to find a way technically to try to bring that one home. And at the end of the day, and even the case of Halleck, of all people, 0-5-1 coming into the game. And, you know, you can't keep referencing that goalies are standing on their head when the majority of them that are beating you are not very good goaltenders. It has to be a little bit more than that.
And the struggles on home ice, I mean, they had the four wins in a row to start the year, and that's now seven losses in the last eight home games as well for Ottawa. Here's Derek Brassard, the Sens center, on not following up the road trip with a win last night.
The main thing when you're coming back from a long road trip and a long travel is the energy that you're going to have and the way you're going to start the game. We did that. That team lost three games in a row, so they're desperate as well. They had a good second period, but we had some moments, but we couldn't get a push in the third period.
So a couple people texted in, including Don this morning, wondering about the Brassard non-goal, was the puck over the line thing in the, was that in the first period? I was at the game, so I'm kind of, it looked to me in live time like I thought that was in, and it didn't seem like, so can you guys explain if you're watching on TV or you guys in the broadcast booth, Hammer, like, was there any review at all on that, or did...
There was no review at all, because you're waiting for, as Gord described during the game, you're waiting for the goal horn to sound, but, so I imagine it was looked at, and they decided, no, it's not a goal, so there's no reason for a goal horn to be sound, and then the refs, I think, at the first break, came over and said, no, it didn't cross the line. No reason to review.
Yeah, and it's a bit of, and I don't know when this had come up, is it the John Shannon theory, JR, where they've shown, based on his work on TV, is it sometimes, I know it sounds strange, but that reflection of the white is actually, I know it sounds weird, but doesn't necessarily mean overhead that the puck is crossed, right? They did a whole thing on this thing of really basically saying that's really an optical illusion if you're looking from the outside in.
If you see white, it is as necessary.
No,
it's not overhead.
No, like we've all, exactly. We've always all been trained to that. So that was my take on it. And, you know, but that's what I go, what's also interesting is that, you know, we're generally not always privy to those looks on the television broadcast. And what's interesting, I'm sure you feel the same. Like there's this, I love going to games live. But it is almost weird that you don't have all the tools available to you, hey? Like replays and everything else. I never feel like it's the same, especially depends where you're sitting. Like if I'm sitting, we sat so close to the Islanders game, it's like I couldn't tell you anything that happened in that game unless I'm sitting up and really watching and enjoying. But TV is certainly a nice tool to have these days.
So, again, my takeaway, and again, from being at the game, game for the first time this year, is that my takeaway was I had no takeaways. I left the game, and I'm like, again, I didn't think it was terrible. There were just enough mistakes to lose. Everybody was, as you said, everybody's trying and working hard, and everything else the coach is looking for, just some tactical errors and just another loss.
Yeah, you almost, I look at it more philosophically in a sense of, if a team was not going through the transition ownership, how would this be handled? I also look back to a summer and just think, again, this wasn't a decision by the Melnick daughters or the board or whoever, JR, that suddenly they decided when the season started it was going to sell. I think they've known from day one that they're going to sell the team. But to be as aggressive as they were, to spend a lot of money on both bringing players in and getting rid of mistakes by the manager, you just quite believe sick of this. If you want to summarize this, and you can put lots of blame, lots of areas, you can break it down, you should not be keeping the company of the Chicago Blackhawks, Arizona, Columbus, and Anaheim at this point. I mean, There's nothing more to be said than that. It's a results-oriented business. And for the money that was spent and the roster, and now certainly from a Norris standpoint to Brassard as a transition, but even Paul and Brown turning into Motton where Joseph is gone, and just overall, it's just not acceptable. And how it'll be handled, I guess that's the wild card, because the team is for sale right now.
Mm. Bottom five in the NHL right now, Arizona, 17 points, Ottawa, 17 points, Columbus, 16 points, Chicago, 16 points, Anaheim, 14 points.
There's not much more you have to say. And the other part of that, if this was just a one-off of teams get off to bad start, you want to say the Norris injury, well, certainly Brassard in that slot, that's a major downgrade. But just the overall, because this is a fourth year in a row of a bad start, the overall continuing to talk about a lack of execution, organization, maximizing the talent that you have, it's just not good enough at the end of the day. And there's nothing much more you can end up saying.
A smattering of some of the texts that have come in this morning at 12-1200. A reminder, when you do text us, that standard messaging rates apply. Dale writes, our system is to not have a system. Horrible coaching. That's from Dale. From Ryan. Good morning, boys. Can you explain to me why Parker Kelly is always in the lineup? That's from Ryan. Unsigned writes, Batherson needs to be benched. He's a giveaway machine. And just one that simply says, fire DJ with 5! So it's a sum of the texts that have come in this morning at 12-1200. On the Parker Kelly thing, you know, for a guy who, look, he's fourth line guy. And that's what he is going to be at best. And he does give you effort. But for me, for a guy who comes in, you know, like the reputation or what makes him stand out, I guess, at training camp and from time to time is kind of the motor's always running, right? And he's racing all over the ice and he's laying checks and, you know, forecheck and all that other stuff. There are a lot of, maybe he's just not making the right contact for me. Like, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, the first thing when he got called up here, when I noticed him right away, a couple of things early on in his career, if you want to say it, he was chasing the play. At the end of the day, JR, he's laying people out in the American Hockey League. He is basically just kind of a bug flying off your windshield. He's just not a very big guy. There's no impact to that. And I love watching Watson with the straight legs and works as hard. But I got to be honest with you, between he and Watson, and here we are critiquing the mistakes of a hockey team in the fourth line, they rattle the glass a ton. There's a ton of glass rattling going on. And it's not overly effective, and I can't disagree. It's a little bit like the... what was the fellow they had here a couple of years ago that worked real hard as well? And again, another little guy that ran around and you know, activity and achievement.
Corey Conacher?
No, it was another guy. It was a fellow got a one-way contract somehow. We couldn't really figure out. Started with an M. But to point out...
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah. He was in Carolina, and now he's in Seattle or somewhere. Yeah, McCormick?
Yeah, exactly.
Not Cody
McCormick? No.
Oh. Max McCormick.
Mad Max. So I brought you to it. So well, anyways.
My
point being, and then the other part of, hey, right now when you kind of look at where Ottawa's at, Ridly Gregg is finding his way. Obviously, Boucher's in junior. I guess you get into Cruikshank, a few other guys. There's not a ton of options right now. And let's also face facts. The reason the Ottawa Senators are losing hockey games has nothing to do with the fourth line. But you can kind of, when things aren't going well, you can kind of go through it and dissect everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And when you add it all up, it's 3-1 New York. And that's the bottom line in a results-oriented business. So Ottawa gets a chance to go right back at it with the Rangers, this time at MSG. That game is tomorrow night, the rare Friday game. Sends at the Rangers, and then Ottawa's back home to face the San Jose Sharks on Saturday night. Thoughts on the game, thoughts on the state of the Sens, thoughts on anything that we chat about is always welcome. Text at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN 1200. Phone lines are always open at 750-1200. We'll get the thoughts of Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey insider, who will join us coming up after 8 o'clock. We'll take a break. When we come back, take a trip around the rest of the NHL and set you up for big football game tonight. Bills and Patriots. New England's last stand for a playoff spot. We'll get into that and much more as we continue along here on a Thursday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. It's Thursday morning. JR Simmer and Hammer with you. Sens fall 3-1 to the Rangers. They're back in New York to take on Rangers tomorrow night at MSG San Jose here on Saturday. Just three other games around the NHL last night. including the Leafs hosting the Sharks, who will be here on Saturday, by the way. And Toronto gets a late goal from Pierre Engvall to go ahead 2-1. And then Mitch Marner, who'd been off the score sheet all night, had one and kind of passed it up. And then a second chance at the empty net. He buried that one to get the point. Now in his 18th straight game, which ties the Leaf franchise record, shared by Daryl Sittler and Eddie Olczyk. Mitch Marner puts his name there as well. Here's Mitch untying the Leafs record.
Special moment to grow up in this city, be a huge fan of this team, and now have my name with a couple unbelievable players. It's pretty special, and you know, a kid growing up would have never expected this, and now it's you know, kind of a reality, and it's a cool moment.
18-game point scoring streak, 7 goals and 24 points for Marner during the streak. He's at 29 points now overall, by the way, which is tied for 7th in the National Hockey League.
I feel like if you're working for the Leafs, JR, a couple of things you should do is get rid of Gary Lehman on the 50-goal list because he doesn't fit with the rest of them. And Eddie Olczyk, Eddie's a nice fella, but I just want to be tied with Daryl Sittler at the end of the day. I always find it weird when you think of 50-goal scorers all-time Toronto Maple Leafs. What is it, Vanderchuk? Now you obviously have Matthews and Gary Lehman.
And yeah. It's not a list for a franchise that's like 100 years old or whatever.
No.
It should have a lot more names than four.
Well, I'm guessing when Reiser made the big deal, that's what he said. We're getting a former 50-goal man. Oh, let's slide him in there. But for Marner and for the Leafs and for Sheldon Keefe, and I wasn't just saying this, you know, we're having some fun with it, but I felt like this thing's headed, and Keith's motion and how crazy it was to start the year, JR. I wonder where this was headed. My, oh my, with three best defensemen down, talk about righting the ship. And even after he'd called out the big boys, right, we're kind of like, oh, where's this going to head? Well, it's headed in a great direction, and it's being led by the big boy or the big small boy, like Mitch Marner. And the way he's handled this since the big contract and a tough year and a tough playoff, I just have nothing but respect and admiration for him. I mean, he could have easily just said, hey, you know what, maybe it'd be good to move me along here. And he has faced this head on, and Sheldon Keefe in the short term here, and the Leafs themselves. It's been really impressive to see what they've been able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got, you know, arguably their three best defensemen out, certainly their three highest paid defensemen out, and they're doing it with the likes of Victor Mete, and you know, a bunch of other.
And Muzzin's not coming back, I think we'd agree, right? At least we hope he doesn't come back. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, like that's who they're, you know, and you know, it's just, you know, if we kind of circle back everything to Ottawa, and it's like, well, you know, one of two ways, right? Either, okay, your defensemen are, you know, are they NHL caliber? Okay, that's debatable. Well, in Toronto, they're able to make it work. In Ottawa, so far, you know, with the bottom of the roster defensemen, they haven't been able to make it work. Why does it work in Toronto? Why doesn't it work in Ottawa? Same to the story of, and Dave Poulin reiterated it yesterday, talking about Winnipeg, right? They made over their defense through trades, right? There are defensemen, you know, we talked about that when New Jersey came to town, like three of their top four defensemen were acquired in trades. In Winnipeg, three of their top four defensemen were acquired in trades. And these aren't superstars. These are just good, solid NHL players.
And
you know, to everybody that says there are no you can't trade for a defenseman. Well, we got two of the top teams in the NHL that absolutely traded for defensemen.
Yeah, and what's also interesting with that, JR, is the tough spot that they were in with Trouba when he wanted out. You know, people generally tell you, well, you can't win that trade. Well, they ended up getting Pionk, and I think they used that
kind of first rounder
to draft Hanola, right? And then you rebuild. The part I wonder from an Ottawa perspective, and again, this is not knowing behind the scenes, but it felt like the whole talk was on Chychrun. Like, was Ottawa, and this can happen, because obviously, I'd say this from an Ottawa perspective, I maybe won't go out and make the Marino trade or another trade if I feel like I'm right there with Chychrun, but at the same time, you need to know when to say, hey, you know what, this is probably not going to work, not to mention he wasn't even healthy, but Bonus had already come over, and I do wonder from the Marino standpoint of what he's been able to accomplish. Man, you talk about a perfect fit, and as I said, that was Ty Smith in the third round pick. I also want to wonder why in 2019 the Edmonton Oilers cast this guy off for nothing for a team that doesn't have defense. But hey, that's not our problem. But you do look at it, and I just wonder if it was all Chychrun from the draft, from the summer. Well, there were other players, and I think you certainly focus back to, because Marino, that's not a whole lot that the New Jersey Devils had to give up for that player.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that what you gave up for Marino, which is Ty Smith, who was playing in the NHL and is a former first-round pick, I'm not sure that, you know, the equivalent is, I guess what you're saying is that was did Pierre Dorion not make trades for other, you know, defensemen in this case because his, you know, the bullets he would have to use for that, there'd be fewer of them, but they were the same bullets that he would have to fire to do a Chychrun trade.
Well, or that, or you're so fixated on it, which I understand, but I also understand that, hey, there may not have been a fit, and that's the part I also respect. You know, Ottawa may have loved Marino and said, listen, we'll give you a Bernard Docker or Thompson and a pick, and they said, no, we need a player that can play right now. We're not sure on that. So, I'm just saying from a curiosity standpoint, and to your point, though, at some point as well, when you are focused on a trade, and this Chychrun thing goes all the way back to last year's trade deadline, and it also feels like Arizona may have overplayed their hand, but the inactivity, and I guess this is also, if you really summarize it, if you want to go back to before the summer of Pierre, which was the spring of Pierre, the whole giving the relief to the Vancouver Canucks and bringing Hamonic in, and then really
they wanted a fourth for Hamonic. We don't have a fourth. Here's a third.
Yeah. And the salary relief when he had a signing bonus in July, JR. And then, again, a lot of real nice things happened in the summertime. But as we finished off the season, we said, man, the one thing the Ottawa Senators need to add is a defenseman. And then, so there's so many layers, I guess, as we were saying, you know, people are all on DJ Smith. Well, again, I think this is a multi-layered issue as to where this hockey club is at right now, and it shouldn't be all on the coach.
It's interesting. The last discussion, and I don't remember who I was listening to, you know, a bunch of, you know, insiders or whatever talking about Chychrun and, you know, now that he's back and playing and, you know, potentially could get traded. And they went through three or four teams, never got to Ottawa. It's kind of like, well, these are the contenders.
Yeah.
So either, you know, learning through their sources or whatever that, you know, Ottawa has decided that they're not going down that road for whatever reason, or they're not willing to give up what Arizona wants. In that case, it was, you know, we have all assumed all along that if and when a trade happens that, yeah, maybe it doesn't happen with Ottawa, but Ottawa is right near the top of the list. Sure. And, you know, again, this was just a discussion I heard, and they were going through like, Columbus, St. Louis, L.A., Buffalo, I think, is one I heard as well. So it was kind of like, you know, well, I was just waiting for them to say in Ottawa and never happened.
Yeah, and that can be where, hey, you've grinded it out so long as managers that it's like, whatever. You just don't end up talking. And then what also really turned, and not that it would necessarily have an effect on the Ottawa hockey operations here, but it was interesting how the national media, really from the start of the season, a lot of people just said, don't touch Chychrun. He's been injured too much. And that those little effects like that, that discussion as it becomes raised and the fact he had a setback with the wrist and you look at all the knee surgeries and everything else, that could be part of it as well. And then you also get to a certain phase, and this is the hard part to understand. As an organization and a hockey club, I think we'd all agree, big picture, the last thing Ottawa needs right now is a rental. Like, and I don't mean, if it's a soft deal, I understand. But I don't know how you're going to upgrade on Hamonic anyway in a soft deal. So if you're going to do that, and then when you now start looking at a big deal, you know, unless it's something that's really going to help you in the future, I'm assuming most of the fan base would prefer that, hey, just stay the course here before, instead of doing something, you know, that's going to compromise the future of any type.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, man. That game last night.
Yeah, you were there in seven minutes. Like, think about the positives.
It seems like you want to say a little bit more.
No, honestly, no. I don't.
Because you're saying it was a game, and I'll be honest, it was not a great game. It was not.
It was a game.
I didn't think it was a great game.
No, it wasn't a horrible game. It was just a game. Like, there aren't many. I guess my point is, I don't know how other people feel about it, whether you're watching on TV or listening or you're at a game where you don't have kind of a bunch of feelings afterwards. And I didn't have. There was a couple of players I could critique positively, negatively, but just my overall as I walked out, it wasn't like, you know, my buddy who I'm there with, like we're breaking down the game on walking out and in the car on the way home. It was just kind of like, that was a game.
See, I think that makes it a bad game.
If there's nothing
that's going to emotionally get you excited one way or the other, I think that means it was a pretty bad, pretty boring game. The Rangers played the perfect road game. They did what they needed to get pucks on net.
And that's why things here, guys. You should follow my theory. Never attend ice hockey matches during the week. I do not attend any ice hockey matches Sunday to Thursday. If you're going to see ice hockey, see it on Friday and Saturday. Because Saturday is always a good time.
Not good for business.
I know, but I'm still watching. I'm still watching. I got my cable package. The other part is, I feel like with all this losing of Ottawa sports and their home things, some of this has to be linked to the light rail and Jim Watson and this other guy that just scooted out of town. Like, seriously, let's
Red Blacks can't win at home. Sens can't win at home. Blame it on Watson, Manconi, and Canelacos.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't find any of the three of them.
They're all on a
well-planned vacation and are unavailable for comment.
Why are you retiring out of the blue 48 hours before this trip?
I love the fact that Jim Watson is unavailable because he's been on a long planned holiday. Ah, it's amazing the timing. Timing is everything.
I thought he's in Winnipeg scouting the Jets.
Well, there's nothing to see here. All right, 7 o'clock. We'll take a break. Top of the hour news and sports update. Keep your comments coming. Tweet us. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN 1200. Mike Johnson will talk. Sens Rangers with us coming up after 8. When we return, after our top of the hour update, we'll get to the very latest on Alex Formanton. Darren Dreger weighed in on our pregame show last night. Today's the day. 5 o'clock deadline for Formanton to be signed by the Sens or someone else to be eligible to play in the National Hockey League. Otherwise, well, who knows? Anyway, the latest on that when we return right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.